are Locked On Pistons, your daily Detroit Pistons podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What is happening? And welcome to the Locked On Pistons podcast, your episode for Thursday, November 15th. And improbably, Mason, give it to him one time.
Detroit basketball!
This is your boy, Matt Shook, a sports writer here in the Motor City, covering the NBA for the Associated Press and the Detroit News, a Pistons fan and follower my whole life, and a sports newspaper reporter for approaching two decades now, I guess is the more appropriate way to putting it. Today, though, we are going to be running down the big win for the Pistons north of the border against the Toronto Raptors in the Great White North. We're going to talk about the final play, some of the other things from down the stretch that stand out, including Stanley Johnson's huge game defensively and offensively with a couple of corner threes. We're going to talk about the long layoff the Pistons are in the middle of. Wednesday's game is only one in a seven-day stretch for these Pistons. We're also going to hear a little bit of fan reaction from our trade discussions earlier this week as well. By the way, give me a follow on Twitter at @Matt_Shook, S-C-H-O-C-H, another underscore after that, also the Locked On Pistons Twitter account and the Facebook page. Give us a like there at Locked On Pistons-Matt Shook. We appreciate that. Spread the word. You could be the 1,000th follower on Twitter of ours. As I look right now, I think we're sitting at about 998 or something crazy. So maybe by the time you hear this, we're already up to 1,000 followers on Twitter. And that would be just a great thing for all of us, wouldn't it? As I look, 996, so four followers away as I tape this late on Wednesday night. But the Pistons get the win Wednesday night against the Raptors, 106-104 with a buzzer beater by Reggie Bullock in the lane. Blake Griffin with 30 points, 12 rebounds, 3 assists, 3 steals, 2 big blocks as well around the rim. Great game from him. Andre Drummond, 11 points and 14 rebounds, the good late putback, which was crucial down the stretch. 13 apiece for Langston Galloway and Reggie Jackson. 6 assists for Reggie Jackson, which I believe is a season high for him as well. Stanley Johnson, in addition to the huge defense down the stretch, 12 points. And like I said, the big-time defensive effort against Kawhi Leonard, especially late. We'll talk about that a little bit later. Kawhi Leonard, by the way, 26-9, looks healthy, special player. The gigantic hands, which stand out every time you see him play. It didn't really seem like there were two all-stars on the court for the Raptors on Wednesday night, and I'm very interested to see how Kyle Lowry and his role develops there with Kawhi Leonard. Obviously, everything's great so far with the 12-2 start before the loss on Wednesday brings him down to 12-3. But how accepting will Kyle Lowry be of it? You know, DeMar DeRozan took a lot of the shine from Toronto, but that was his good friend. And we'll see how things progress with Kawhi Leonard and Kyle Lowry and all these other guys that are really talented player. Pascal Siakam has improved leaps and bounds this season. Jonas Valanciunas is a good player. And they got all those wings. I mean, just guy after guy after guy, and including a couple that'll be coming back from injury at some point. You know, I certainly have some egg on my face about these Raptors. It's a team that I thought wouldn't be as great as everyone thought maybe in the preseason, especially early. I thought they might stumble out of the gates a little bit, and that has been the exact opposite of what happened. I will admit that I'm wrong so far on that. Well, we'll see how it goes in the long run, though. I'm not going to call that one an L just completely quite yet, and we will see. But like I said, good defensive team, including probably the best defensive player in the NBA. Just lots of talent up and down the roster, 11 deep when healthy. Some great wing shooting, which is the bread and butter of the modern NBA these days. And how about Greg freaking Monroe on Wednesday night? 17 points, mostly on dump-offs, easy baskets that you or I could have scored, but a solid game for a guy who hasn't been getting any run this year in Toronto for Nick Nurse quite yet, but got some burn and did well with it on Wednesday night. It's a strange career that it has been for Greg Monroe, a former old friend for the Detroit Pistons organization, a draft pick and player for the Pistons for several years during the dark ages. Danny Green, who came over with Kawhi Leonard in the trade from San Antonio in the offseason, he suffered a lower back injury. We'll see how that shakes out for him. CJ Miles, already a guy that's hurt for the Toronto Raptors right now. But the Pistons, 10 of 33 from three-point land. I said CJ Miles. I think Norman Powell is the guy who's hurt right now for them. 10 of 33 from three-point land for the Pistons. No one was too good or too bad on that list except for Reggie Bullock, who was 1 for 7, but of course made the big two-pointer late. John Luehr He played 4 minutes, by the way, and played really well. Was instrumental in the big comeback late in the third quarter for the Pistons. He had Pistons were down 19 at that time. Put in John, and he was the reason they turned it around. Well, maybe that's exaggerating a little bit. But Lure played well, had a couple of putbacks, missed the three in the corner, had the offensive foul. So it wasn't all great 4 minutes for him, but some encouraging signs, moved around the court pretty well, which is probably the most important thing at this point in the season for him. The Pistons were down 19 points, clawed their way back in the return to Toronto for Pistons coach Dwayne Casey, who was fired by them after a great run. Although he couldn't get through LeBron James in the playoffs, and who could in the Eastern Conference over these past decade plus, by the way. But I don't like the karma of that. I'll just say that, and that's not the most analytical thing in the world to say. But firing your best coach in franchise history because of failures against LeBron James, not a great reason, especially when we talked to Sean Woodley of Lockdown Raptors on Wednesday's show. And had they known that they were going to make the big DeMar DeRozan deal, which is a good deal given how Kawhi Leonard has looked so far this year, and you're taking a chance that maybe he signs in the long term, and we'll see how that all shakes down together. But if they know that they knew that DeMar DeRozan was going to get flipped, you already had a big change coming with the roster, maybe they don't fire Dwayne Casey, and maybe the Pistons kind of lucked out a little bit here. But the Nick Nurse, Dwayne Casey situation really kind of reminds me a lot of Jim Caldwell. I know fans are sick of hearing me say that, especially fans who want to be Lions-free during this podcast, but now we see where the Lions are at from firing Jim Caldwell, the most successful coach in Lions history, and they fired him because he couldn't win the big games. Well, they took care of that. Now they won't play in a lot of big games in the next foreseeable future, certainly this year. We'll see if Toronto stays at the top of the league and has the great season, the deep run to the NBA Finals like everyone is talking about right now. Certainly won't do it with shooting efforts like they had on Wednesday night. 4 of 20 from three-point land. That's not going to get it done against anybody. But, by the way, that was probably their big undoing there tonight. But a team that you would expect to have a much better shooting performances and has had them throughout the season so far this year. But big credit to the Pistons at coming back from 19. I was at my brother's house up in Rochester. He was he's got the Hulu Plus, so we were streaming it from the Fox Sports Detroit channel, which you can get through Hulu Plus, so, which is pretty cool, by the way. Check that out if you're looking to maybe save a little bit on the cable bill. That was not an ad. That was just me giving you some advice to think about. So, you're kind of 7-8 minutes behind, just like you're streaming on League Pass, like I do on the computer a lot of times. So, you're behind Twitter a lot there, especially you guys. So I stayed away from Twitter during the game. Didn't tweet either because I didn't want that guy who has that dynamite drop-in of something that happened 8 minutes ago while everyone else is tweeting about, different things. But we were talking, well, the Pistons got it back to 92-88 at one point. I think this was probably early fourth quarter. And he looks at me and Scott says, win or lose, and at that point it still looked like it was probably going to be a loss. You got to appreciate how the Pistons have come back in this game. The defense that they've played, especially during the entire fourth quarter. And I agree. I mean, a loss would have been one of those losses that you feel fine about as a Pistons fan, coming back, showing some fight, down from 19, not giving up, coming back a little bit for your coach, Dwayne Casey. But the fact that they were able to pull that off, just a great win. One of those wins that you will be talking about in the spring, one of those wins that we'll be talking about in the offseason, regardless of what happens this year. Really reminds me a lot of the Boston Celtics win that they had in Boston. Last year I was in Florida watching that one, and just a memorable performance by the Pistons. And you don't want to get too high on wins. You don't want to get too low on losses. But we talk about the red-letter games, but this isn't a red-letter game because you don't expect to win a game in Toronto. You don't expect to win this one at all. It's not one of those important games because you just figure it's going to be a loss. So to get one of those is really big, and we'll see how that kind of affects the future because the Pistons do have a winnable slate of games coming up over the short term here, and that will be coming up next with Cleveland at Little Caesars Arena at home at 7 o'clock on Monday. So a little unfortunate that they can't build off this win day-wise with the momentum, but it will be nice for them to get the rest. But they got Cleveland and then a home-and-home with Houston, who's not the dumpster fire that they were at the very early part of the season, but certainly a team that the Pistons fans can hope to get a split against on that home-and-home. And then after that, you've got some layups. You've got the Phoenix Suns, you got the New York Knicks, you got the Chicago Bulls, all at home. So really, a chance for the Pistons here to knock off 5 of 6. Go get a nice stretch of wins, and I'll tell you what, they're going to need it because December 1st through December 21st is a nightmarish run of games and the schedule. It's going to be tough. We're going to have to stick together. We're going to have to keep listening to the Locked On Pistons podcast every day, despite the fact that there might be a losing streak or two involved in that run, and we'll see how this all shakes down over these next few weeks. But again, a win like that gets you excited to watch some more Pistons basketball in the next few weeks, and I hope you guys feel the same way and stick with us and talk some more Pistons here every day on the Locked On Pistons podcast. But up next, we're going to talk about the final play a little bit, and I also have some thoughts about the long layoff and the stretch run. Stanley Johnson playing the great defense as well. But is your company looking for a new way to reach customers? Your company could be mentioned right now, right here on Locked On Pistons. Podcast listeners are 60% more likely to interact with sponsors that they hear on their favorite podcast. Our demographic is 98% males. What's up, fellas? And more education and earning power than your traditional media audiences. Have your company sponsor Locked On Pistons. Go ahead and email me at Matt_Schuch, S-C-H-O-C-H, at yahoo.com to find out more.
Yes, sir!
Later on, we will talk about the long layoff that the Pistons have coming up and also hear from listeners on some of the trade discussion that we had earlier this week on the show. And by the way, I got a great interview already taped that I did on Wednesday that I'll play for you guys on Monday that I'm excited to share. That is one thing you can expect from Locked On Pistons. If you're just starting out with us here with the new season, do yourself a favor and go back in the archives. Check out our interviews with Larry Brown. Just Google Larry Brown and Locked On Pistons. We had a two-parter this summer with George Blaha. Maybe you've heard of him. Also, former Bad Boys world champion Scott Hastings, a two-parter with him this summer. We had Nancy Lieberman last season, Terry Mills this summer. All the media guys, everyone who covers the team, Vince Ellis, Rod Beer, James Edwards III, just all those guys, and we're looking forward to bringing some more guests on. Some of them I've already contacted with, and they said that they'll do it, and we're looking forward to sharing those ones with you guys as well. But let's talk a little bit more about Wednesday night. Fun to talk about, a big win, and I'm excited here tonight on Locked On Pistons. Stanley Johnson, the big defense on Kawhi Leonard late, a few steals, maybe a little bit of juju to have him dribble off his foot before attempting what could have been the game winner on the final possession for Toronto. I said this to my brother, and it's obvious that Stanley Johnson, by the way, is responding well to the new role of playing backup four throughout the second and third quarters for the Pistons. But doesn't it feel like that he needs to be out there when it matters? If the Pistons have any chance of taking that next step as a team this season and not starting games, I think it's going just fine for the Pistons as far as the starting lineup and how it looks in the second and third quarters, but maybe often as a closer in games. Now, obviously, to be on the court in big situations, he needs to be able to find a way to hit, you know, near 35% of his three-pointers, knock down the open ones. He knocked down some contested ones against Toronto on Wednesday, but just knock down the open ones, something that he has not done throughout his career, something that we've been waiting for years, 4 years now, as Pistons fans. But to maximize this team, it has to feel like he has to be out there and making life difficult for the best wing of the opposition. And I'm not sure if anyone else on this roster, save for Bruce Brown, maybe someday, possibly sooner rather than later, but nobody else is the defender that Stanley Johnson is on the perimeter. And we've seen him as kind of the late game defensive substitution sometimes, but just feels like he needs to be out there when it matters late in game. So I was happy to see that he was able to show his worth there and give another flash of the potential that we often see from Stanley Johnson. But let's talk about those Pistons' last plays. I like the lob play that Dwayne Casey drew up for Glenn Robinson III, although I will say, just like Pascal Siakam, you saw it coming a mile away, right, as the screener went towards him. Siakam kind of waited in the wings, and the pass from Calderon was not perfect. Obviously, it's a tough pass from far away, so Robinson wasn't able to dunk it or even really be moving towards the hoop. So Siakam kind of sat back and made the block. But the Pistons were fortunate with the way the ball bounced that he was able to have another chance at it. But another tangent, I mean, late in the game, all those damn replays, and I know I sound like the oldest man on the planet when I do this, but all of them seem to screw the Pistons late, and that didn't help matters as far as watching it. But I've been consistent on that. I don't think that there should be replays in the NBA, save for, you know, the final shot of the game. Did get off in time? I'm sure I'm fine with that. But the clear path call on Langston Galloway, that was awful. Possibly the correct call, though, as noted by one of the officials on Twitter late on the Wednesday night. But they need to change that rule if that's the correct call. We know why there is a clear path rule. We know the types of calls that should be called based on the spirit of the clear path rule, and that is not it. I would like to see that fixed. Obviously, Langston was attempting to go for the ball, kind of got tripped up and fell down. Didn't grab Kawhi Leonard, but obviously head fouled him and kind of incidental contact on his way down. Again, clearly a foul, but definitely something that should be called a common foul based on the spirit of the rule. And if that's not the letter of the law, then the letter of the law should be changed back to what it was before. I'm also, again, pretty tired of the frame-by-frame on the out-of-bounds calls over and over again, especially when the refs kind of pathetically don't even make a call. They just throw the jump ball up and say, we're going to go take a look on it on the replay. And I guess that is the best reffing mechanism when you know that that's available to you and you know that maybe you'd have to find some compelling evidence and surefire evidence to reverse a bad call. But just makes them look like cowards, really. And so do you want that to, if your refs to just kind of throw up your hands and say, I don't know, on big calls? And especially when you're just making those frame-by-frame calls, and then you watch it, and invariably every time you see that there probably should have been a foul called in the play that wasn't, those would be the ones that would help, right? The foul calls on replay. And I don't think that they should be reviewing foul calls, but I really think they should get rid of it. But back to the actual final play, no timeouts for the Pistons, so they kind of going off of what was already a setup play, I would imagine. A nice double screen by Andre Drummond and Reggie Bullock, setting up Blake Griffin to be open at the foul line extension for a three-pointer, sitting there wide open, and Jose Calderon does not pass it to him. I actually verbally said it while I was watching. I said, oh no, he missed him. He's right there. And then Reggie Bullock, who was in that double screen, had the presence of mind to see the room on the opposite block and just rolls to the hoop, and Calderon finds him in ball game. Just great instincts by Reggie Bullock. Turns out to be a great play by Calderon in the end. Who knows if Dwayne would have been disappointed if that was the play. I would imagine that Calderon was the first option. But maybe they knew that role was coming. Maybe that was a design. Certainly no harm by the way that it turned out. So a big win, a big play for the Pistons. So now move into a long layoff. And by the way, that one game in 7 days with the next game coming up Monday against the Cleveland Cavaliers at home. That helps give Luke Kennard back possibly sooner rather than later in terms of games missed. The word on Tuesday was that he'd have about 2 more weeks of rehab ahead. So as of yesterday, that puts him at missing 4 more games from now, although you might guess it turns into 5 or 6 more based on how those things actually go. So that's looking forward for the Pistons. But the Locked On Podcast Network, we're doing unprecedented things on Twitter and Instagram. On Twitter, follow Locked On NBA Net, and you get all the Locked On Podcast Network local hosts covering the NBA teams in one feed. It's amazing during games, breaking news, and to get the local perspective when big stuff is happening. On Instagram, follow Locked On NBA Net. It's giving you the biggest stories in just 1 minute on the Instagram stories and also longer cuts on those stories in the feeds as well. So make sure you follow Locked On NBA Net on both Twitter and Instagram. Up next, we're going to hear from some of the fans about the trade discussion that we had on the podcast earlier this week. That's up next here on the Locked On Pistons podcast, which is a proud member of the Locked On Network, your team every day.
Hey, Matt. This is Andy from Ann Arbor, and I have just finished your most recent episode talking about trades, specifically talking about trading for John Wall. I am a big fan of John Wall's game, and I have always admired the way that he plays. All of that said, I would not want to take him on simply because of his contract. His contract is an albatross just waiting to hang around the neck of somebody, and I don't want it to be the Pistons because we already have too many albatross contracts. John Luer, Reggie Jackson, you could even consider Blake Griffin to be one. I do not think that the Pistons need to add another one. What I think should happen, quite honestly and unfortunately, is I think the team should just be complete teardown mode. I don't know how we can get rid of some of these bad contracts. Maybe we can, maybe we can't. If we can't, we just have to let them play out. But complete teardown mode is where they need to be. And they should honestly tank and try and get some high-value draft picks. Thanks a lot, Matt. Enjoy the show.
Andy from Ann Arbor, thanks for the call. One of our favorite listeners. Andy talked about how they got the Albatross contracts with Reggie Jackson, John Lure, and Blake Griffin. Well, the deal that I proposed, they get rid of Reggie Jackson and John Lure. And obviously, anytime you're going to bring in John Wall's $40 million some seasons over the next three of the next four seasons, over $40 million and just under $40 million next season. Now he's only at $19 million this year. But if you make that deal, you know, it's a luxury tax situation. It's a capped out situation. So obviously you're not going to be able to bring in anything other than re-signing some of your own free agents that you have bird rights for and then bringing in a bunch of minimum contract guys. But now you're dealing with the big three of John Wall, Andre Drummond, and Blake Griffin. And to me, that's a group that could possibly make some noise in the Eastern Conference as opposed to kind of getting in the playoffs and probably losing a first-round series, you know, at very best, topping out as a second-round team. So that's just the way I see it. If you're going for it, if you make the Blake Griffin deal, then go for it. That's kind of where I am at with this group. As far as a teardown, I know that that's a popular sentiment along with many of you guys, and I would never tear down that opinion and say that there's no way they should do it because there's a lot of prudency involved there, and it might be a smart move in a lot of corners, kind of starting from scratch and going with the tank. But guess what? With the lottery rules that have changed, that the way they are going forward, the fact that there's other teams out there trying to tank as well, the fact that it doesn't look like a particularly deep draft, and we'll see how the college basketball season goes. Certainly you have the top-end talent with the Duke three guys and then a couple others out there. But, I mean, if you end up with the seventh or eighth pick, which is what maybe you might look like if you're a Pistons team that bottoms out a little bit here, you know, going forward, I don't know. To me, that's not the prudent move. I say either stick with what you got or, in my opinion, like I said on Tuesday's show, go for it. See what the Wizards and the Wizards won again on Wednesday night, probably unfortunately for a couple different reasons because maybe they're not willing to deal one. And then also they're a team. You know, they're a red letter team for the Pistons now. They're going to be right in there in that Eastern Conference playoff hunt. So they're 5-9 now. So maybe they've turned a little bit of the corner and might not be ready to sell things and burn down the house like maybe they would have after about a few weeks into the season when they were looking at like 2-9 or whatever that was before. So let me know what you think. 810-666-1546. Text or call the Google Voice number again, 810-666-1546. We'll talk a little bit more trades, but we'll drop this at some point soon as well and kind of move on with the season and see if it plays out with the front office making a move or not. But give me a follow on Twitter at @Matt_Shook, S-C-H-O-C-H, another underscore after that. Also the Locked On Pistons Twitter account. And give us a like at the Facebook page at Locked On Pistons-MattShook. And give us a rating and review on iTunes, by the way. That's probably one of the better ways for people to find out about the show, in addition to you using your social media influence to, and also the word of mouth with your Pistons fans, friends and family over the holidays and all those good times that you're going to be seeing them this winter as well. But this is your host, Matt Shook, saying thanks for listening. Have a great weekend. By the way, as of right now, my plan is to drop a quick episode sometime Friday afternoon because I am going to practice for the Pistons on Friday for the Detroit News. So hopefully I'll have some good stuff to share. No promises. I may not drop one, but look for something possibly on Friday afternoon from the Locked On Pistons podcast. If not, like I said, got a good interview coming Monday, and there's no games from now to then anyway, so you won't be missing analysis or anything like that. But a plan for a Friday afternoon show. But if not, definitely Monday morning, and we will talk to you guys then. So have a good couple days, and thanks for listening, everyone.